Ye, the artist formerly known as Kanye West, is dominating headlines again. Back in January, he took out a full-page ad in the Wall Street Journal apologising to his family and to the wider black community for his unpredictable behaviour and for past inflammatory comments. He cited a diagnosis of bipolar disorder for allegedly anti-Semitic remarks, claiming that he lost touch with reality. Then, just as his comeback album Bully hit the top of the charts on both sides of the Atlantic, a fresh controversy erupted. A scheduled appearance at the Wireless Festival in London turned the hip-hop pioneer into a major headache for the British government. Then came a big announcement. They weren't going to let it happen.
I've been cancelled. I've been cancelled before they had cancel culture. I was cancelled before they had the term.
It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty, and we had actually planned a very different kind of podcast for you today, looking back at the phenomenal rise and fall and the re-emergence of Kanye West, or Ye, as a headline performer on this side of the Atlantic. Last week, it was announced that he would headline three nights in London as part of the Wireless Festival. It looked like the Kanye comeback had begun, albeit amidst plenty of criticism from those disgusted by his tilt to the far right and allegations of hate speech. And just as we were about to hit record on that podcast, news broke that Ye, as he likes to be called now, has been banned from entry into the United Kingdom. Well, earlier, the festival's organiser, Melvin Benn, well known to Irish music lovers here for his long association with Electric Picnic, had defended his decision to book the controversial rapper on the BBC.
There's a case that culturally he is a really important artist. Culturally, he is played across the radio stations and enjoyed by millions of people across the UK. He is able to perform in other countries. He played in Los Angeles two nights last week to 70,000 people each night. No issues there, no furore. And his performances were enjoyed by the thousands of fans that were there.
So that was Melvin Benn speaking there. But here on News Talk, Jonathan Arkush from the Board of Deputies of British Jews told Claire Byrne about his discomfort at West's appearance at Wireless and cast doubt on the sincerity and the motive of the rapper's apologies for those anti-Semitic remarks.
He said sorry before, and then shortly afterwards, he's gone and repeated those vile and unacceptable statements. So we're not yet persuaded.
Mm-hmm. Are you surprised that Melvin Benn, a very experienced festival organiser, went ahead with this booking?
I'm both surprised and disappointed. And as Melvin Benn said on BBC Radio this morning, he should have, but failed to reach out first to the UK's Jewish community to assess what their views were.
Well, it seems that Keir Starmer's government was listening to all this controversy. The decision has been made now to revoke the visa and the festival has been cancelled. So what is the background to all of this? What led the British government to take such a position? And is it ever possible to separate the artist from their political views, allowing people like Kanye come back onto stages on this side of the Atlantic? Well, I'm joined now from London by Vincent McAvinney, who's been reporting this story all week, and from Cork by DJ CVG of Red FM. You're both very welcome to News Talk Daily. Vincent, I'm going to start with you. Can we go back to that original announcement that Kanye West was going to headline three nights at the Wireless Festival? This was something that was clearly in the can. There was months of organisation before the decision was made and announced. Was there immediately a backlash to this?
Yeah, I mean, this announcement really came out of the blue. It was last Tuesday, the 31st of March. I saw it appear on my timeline, and without even needing to look at the replies, I knew it was going to attract controversy. And I started sort of phoning a couple of people, so various Jewish organizations, the festival organizers themselves, Festival Republic, contacting some of the sponsors as well, the local MP, the council, and the UK Home Office to ask about this, because I was thinking that it was a very curious booking that would provoke a backlash and could see him actually being blocked from the UK. Now, festivals obviously keep their lineup secret, but there is, you know, months of preparation, particularly with someone like Kanye West, who, you know, hasn't performed in the UK since Glastonbury in 2015. He's been on such a destructive journey ever since. It would have been a real sort of PR mission to try and get this over the line. And they would have needed to have done some pitch rolling about him appearing. You know, Wireless is a big festival. It's around 50,000 people each of the 3 days, so roughly 150,000 people. And last year they booked Drake as a headliner for all 3 days, another artist who'd been facing allegations and criticism. This festival is run by professionals, and I think they've, you know, it's been a disaster for them because I contacted them last Tuesday and then didn't hear anything until the last 48 hours back from them. Whereas I heard back from the government, the council, the sponsors, they all started to come back over the past week, you know, one by one, pulling out the sponsors, raising objections and concerns in the council. And this festival, I think in particular for listeners in Ireland, they need to know, Finsbury Park is near where I live. It's also very near the main Jewish areas of London. You know, tens of thousands of Jewish people live in Hackney and Haringey and Tottenham. And this is someone who has said all these things and gone backwards and forwards on his apologies. So it was a very provocative location for him to perform.
Yeah, and yet what's interesting is I saw the organiser of the festival say, look, this was months in the making. His name has been floating about the organisation for months and months. There were multiple stakeholders involved in this. It wasn't something that just a small handful of people were involved in, and yet nobody raised a red flag.
Yeah, I mean, and this interview this morning from the organiser, Melvin Benn, is quite remarkable because he at times was sort of seemingly throwing some of the sponsors like Pepsi, like Diageo under the bus, saying that they had all signed off on this. And they were the ones over the weekend who came out and said, no, it's not right for him to perform. He also, and it was confusing because I spoke to a source at the Home Office last week who told me that Kanye West had not actually put in an application to come to the UK. That was the understanding that I had, whereas Melvin Benn had sort of said, oh no, his visa's all sorted. That's all done. But as we understand it, that is not, he hadn't actually applied for a visa through the Home Office. It was another scheme that he was applying for, and it definitely wasn't all sorted, with the UK government now just deciding to block him. And this is something that they have done with others. So a recent example is a Dutch anti-immigration influencer, Eva Vlerdenburg, who she promotes things like the Great Replacement Theory. And the UK government has the power. It's not like the US, where there is, you know, an absolute right to freedom of speech in the First Amendment. There are powers in the UK if you're going to incite racial hatred for you to be blocked from coming in because it's being deemed as being against the public good.
And it was interesting to note, given the furore, was that the Australian government withdrew permission for Kanye West to enter the country in the wake of the release of a track called Heil Hitler, which we'll speak to in a moment. And they defended the decision, saying the Australian Department of Home Affairs is not going to import hatred.
If I raise my voice, if I express myself on Instagram, it's a colonic, and people can say, oh, that this what you're doing is toxic. If what I'm saying is toxic, I got to do everything to get it out of my body.
So let's go to, I suppose, that particular track, Heil Hitler, and to all of the alleged anti-Semitism that was coming from Kanye. Can you remind us of the history of those remarks?
Kanye West, you know, as I say, from the last time he was in the UK, he has been on a journey. He was someone who, yes, could be provocative and he was bold in his art, but he took a pivot a couple of years ago and has, you know, had a very rocky time in his personal life. He has talked about the struggles he's had with mental health. He has at times been medicated but come off that medication. Kim Kardashian, who he was married to, has talked openly about the struggles that she had in trying to keep him in treatment and trying to help him. And it ultimately sort of destroyed their marriage and has put a real strain on his relationship with the four kids that he has with her. During this time, he has made statements, not just about Jewish people, but he's also, you know, criticized Black people and sort of talked about, you know, in a very uninformed way, the history of slavery. He's worn things like White Lives Matter t-shirts and criticize the, you know, Black community in America.
I want to answer the white. Yeah. I feel like someone caught what I was saying, the comparison of Tanya Harden about the White Lives Matter. You know, my dad is an educated ex-Black Panther, and he put a text to me today. He said, "White Lives Matter, ha, 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 ha." And I said, I thought the shirt was a funny shirt. I thought the idea of me wearing it was funny. And I said, "Dad, what do you think it was funny?" He said, just a Black man stating the obvious.
And then, of course, all of the stuff that he's done in terms of, you know, selling merchandise with swastikas, you know, being very critical of Jewish people and using slurs and racist languages towards them as well. It is just something where, you know, he has come out earlier this year with a statement in the Washington Post where he has, you know, sought to make amends, talked about undiagnosed neurological issues that he had from a 2002 car crash. But I think the thing is, this was a very quick timeline for the amount of damage he has done to his reputation to try and go back to being normal. And I think what people think is, well, this is what he's saying. He said things like this before and just gone back on them. It's about his behavior over a long period, and we need to see what he does particularly to make amends to the communities that he's hurt.
Yeah, talking about that ad that he did take out, it was entitled "To Those I Hurt," and he apologised, as you say, for earlier comments. Many critics called that apology mealy-mouthed, self-serving, and pointed out that yes, he has apologised before major releases in the past and then repeated the behaviour time and time again. So do you think that scepticism was warranted?
I think that scepticism was warranted. And I think you've got to look at the situation here in the UK. You know, as I mentioned, this was going to be in, you know, very close to a huge Jewish area in London. And the Jewish community in the UK is facing, you know, ever since October 7th, a huge rise in anti-Semitism, not just sort of, you know, verbal, but also physical assault. We had an attack on a synagogue last year with a shooter who, you know, they managed to stop him at the door, but there were people killed. Only a few weeks ago in London, we had a Jewish ambulance being blown up. So you have to look at the climate that he would have been coming into here in the UK as well. And as Jewish organizations have said, they were very uncomfortable with this booking. Kanye West had put out a statement via Festival Republic saying that, you know, he wanted to meet members of the Jewish community when he was here to listen. But I think there is just a feeling that this was an unnecessary booking, that he hasn't maybe done the work that's needed before they can trust what he's saying.
I think there was some fear, wasn't there, that those apologies from him were not sincere, that they were related to the launch of his music and his concern about his own comeback, and that he may have used that platform at Wireless for 3 days to double down on the anti-Semitic comments that he has made. I would also have assumed, Vincent, that if he had gone ahead and been the headliner at this festival, it's likely to have attracted considerable protests.
Yeah, I think it probably would have done, actually. And I think, you know, Melvin Benn, the organizer, is pretty badly handled interview with the Today programme on the BBC, where he sort of, you know, came across as somewhat naive to this, but also defensive. You know, he said at one point, you know, we would have control over the mic, and if he started doing anything, we'd have cut it off. Now, I mean, why would you book someone? It begs the question why you would book someone where you'd need to take that extreme measure with. So it could have led to quite ugly scenes in Finsbury Park, that area, because there is also, you know, that is actually as well, you know, to the sort of north side of the park, you've got a very Jewish area, and the area around Finsbury Park is actually, you know, there's a lot of Muslim people as well. And then you'd have had tens of thousands of people traveling into this area for the festival. So it could have led to quite ugly scenes at this event, which already actually has a bit of a reputation for violence. And there is, I've got to say, as someone who lives nearby, that the last couple of years when it's been on, there has been significant police presences, stop and search powers in place as well. So it really was building up to be a bit of a powder keg.
Vincent, thank you so much for speaking to us on News Talk Daily today.
Thank you.
Stevie, to bring you in here, right, Kanye West has said that his only goal was to come to London and present a show of change, bringing unity, peace and love. He did say in that ad, "To Those I've Hurt," it was a 750-word letter. He said, "I'm not a Nazi, I'm not an anti-Semite." He loves Jewish people. He said it was a 4-month-long manic episode that led to those outbursts and that he lost touch with reality. And he said, look, he has found a new baseline through medication, therapy and exercise, and that his wife had encouraged him to get help, that this was going to be a fresh start. Did you believe him?
Yeah, like I wouldn't be qualified to really speak on the mental health stuff, but I did spend a bit of time with him in Cork. I played before him a couple of times and we had him in our club, like, but that was back in 2009. And I think the kind of episodes kind of originated then when his mother died around that time. And I think he kind of went off the rails. Now, I'm not comfortable talking about someone else's mental health, no matter who it is or anything like that. But like, he has become obviously for the public persona more unhinged. We all know about all the songs, the music, the interviews, the Twitter kind of rants. I mean, how genuine he is, we don't know. I mean, he's definitely, when he launched this new album, he's been a bit better behaved and all that. But I can understand the concerns. The interesting thing for me, I think, is as someone who plays kind of what's ostensibly black music, like hip-hop, R&B, jazz, a lot of the apologies, and I think even a lot of black Americans and black people in the UK and even here are a bit kind of miffed by all the apologies seem to be directed more about the Jewish community and stuff. And some of the stuff he said about his own people in America were kind of more or less unforgivable with regard to the slavery as a choice and all this kind of stuff. And obviously with some of the visual stuff with T-shirts. And the Hitler thing offends most of us. I mean, most sane people in the world. But there was a lot of other stuff. And not only the MAGA kind of stuff going on, but like there's some crazy stuff, escapades going on about his own people. And it's interesting for me that it's pretty much 20 years. I remember it was the time of Hurricane Katrina. So that was 2005, 2006, when one of his first big public controversies was when he was live on TV and he was saying George Bush doesn't care about black people. It's interesting. No, it's such a mild kind of controversy to have in what's happened in the 21 years since. And that day he said that, I remember it was on CNN or whatever. I was interviewing John Legend in Dublin, and John Legend was one of Kanye's proteges. He produced John Legend's debut album and no one knew who John Legend really was at the time. And I was interviewing him and we were talking about it, and it was like, We were kind of going, like, I could understand what Kanye was always playing the devil's advocate. He was trying to bring out that, like, in America, it caused a huge controversy. But what he was trying to just say was that, like, listen, if this happened elsewhere in America, there would have been a bit of a better response. It happened in New Orleans to ostensibly a black community. Mm. He was very illuminating back then, even lyrically, about everything from materialism, from racism, about everything. And like seeing him pivot the other way was a big disappointment. No, some of that was kind of rage baiting or trolling or whatever, but I couldn't justify that either, you know?
Well, let's then go back, I suppose, to look at the influence that he has had on the hip hop scene. I mean, when he appeared on the scene as himself, as Kanye West, and launched his first album, he shifted the entire sound of rap.
Yeah, like he was there in the background. The funny thing is he was pulling a lot of strings in the background, but he really wanted to be in the front, and he had this amazing self-belief, and I think his mother deserves a lot of credit. He had this kind of self-belief that he would even be a rapper, and even the guys he was producing massive hits for, like Jay-Z, were kind of looking at him kind of side-eyed, going like, you're not a rapper, you're a kind of a behind the scenes guy. And he proved everyone wrong. I mean, none of us, even hardcore hip-hop fans, would have seen it coming. And he moved it away from a lot of the macho kind of thing, moved it into a lot of very good, like, his ear has always been amazing, even to this day when a lot of other things seem to have kind of been affected. His ear for samples and music is great. So he did shift things. And then even after he had done that, he shifted things a couple of more times in the music genre, even above hip hop. Like he brought hip hop to kind of more stadiums. I think he was influenced even by people like U2 and Daft Punk in that regard, and his music became broader. And of course, he also was very responsible for doing a lot of the more introspective stuff, which was dismissed at the time when he released 808s and Heartbreaks. That was the last time we had him in Cork around that time. But in hindsight, people kind of caught up with that as well. So he was always ahead of the game there. But I mean, I just think he's had some sort of breakdowns after his mother died, and that was like maybe 2009. And since then, like, his lyrics and stuff have been more and more erratic. His behavior, I mean, we all know, we've just discussed it at length there. And it's kind of like, I mean, it would be pretty indefensible. And even some of the clips from the American show last week, if you go to a lot of mainstream hip hop gigs now, there is a certain more of a macho jock element, which was what he was the antithesis for when he came out. Mm. And it's kind of like, But there is also a kind of, I don't know, there's so many people willing to look past stuff. And in America, for example, I mean, in hip hop, which was the countercultural thing, which spoke directly to the people back in the 80s and the 90s, it was like a lot of these, even the rappers of that day, like Ice Cube and Snoop, a lot of them are kind of turned into kind of MAGA kind of people now. So it's amazing that a lot of rappers, mainstream big rappers, kind of turned into the people they almost spoke up about. I mean, that does happen in music and in culture and in art, but it's interesting with Kanye. It really is the extreme version of that.
His influence on sort of the DNA of hip hop is obviously legendary at this point. He moved away from that sort of gangster scene, and he was suddenly rapping about family and about faith and about insecurities and about your vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
It was the type of content you hadn't seen in the hip hop scene before. But his influence, I suppose, went way beyond music in terms of the clothes that people wore, in terms of the sneakers you put in your feet. And he was the first non-athlete to sign a deal with Nike. I mean, creatively, he was really seen as this visionary person.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, across the board, really. And he has a massive vision, massive ambition. And it's, you still can't, I mean, in the 21st century, it's very hard to see too many people who would have a bigger influence, no matter what has happened. But I mean, obviously, as the time has gone on, he's burnt a lot of bridges with even those brands. And people have come back from all sorts of stuff in showbiz across the board. I mean, it is funny that some of the people banned in the UK and elsewhere, like we were talking about Tyler, the Creator, even Snoop back in the day, it does tend to be people who look a certain way or are a certain kind of from a certain background, we'll say. So I think Black Americans, or even African Americans as a whole, have been maybe sometimes treated a little bit differently than other people. Things get moved to the side a little bit with people who maybe look like me. But I mean, he is a rapper as well. They are speaking direct. And while I'm speaking now, Donald Trump is threatening to exterminate Iran. And like, we're still talking about Kanye West. I think he's just such a kind of a polarizing figure. But even his fans wouldn't really be defending most of the stuff he has said. Even as a fan of his music, historically, no one can defend what he's been talking about in the last few years. And has he apologized sufficiently? I mean, I doubt it, really. You know, we'd have to give that a few years. It's too early, I think.
And it will be interesting to see if that meeting between Kanye West and the Board of Deputies of British Jews goes ahead, notwithstanding the fact that he is no longer coming into Britain and he's no longer headlining that festival. Vincent McAvaney in London and Stevie G in Cork, thanks so much for bringing us all of that, much of it breaking just as we began recording this edition of News Talk Daily. Well, that's it from us today. Thanks as always for your company. I'll be back again tomorrow. And as always, you'll find the podcast on the Go Loud Player or wherever it is that you stream your content. Bye for now.